I want to begin here, and the phrase is, upon this rock, and Jesus said this, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. This is in Matthew 16. We've been over this a lot in this semester, but I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not, and it says, shall not prevail against it. I've always said this, you might have heard me say it before, but gates don't move. So because gates don't move, that means that in the relationship between the gates of hell and the church, gates are stationary and don't move. So in that relationship between the two of those, the one that's moving is the church. I loved, shout out to Gospel Bill, we used to call him, we were small, Willie George. He had a church in Oklahoma. And the name, I love the name of his church. Church was called Church on the Move. And that's exactly what it is. Sometimes church doesn't seem to be on the move because we get so caught up with the buildings and the meetings on Sundays and midweek and services and the revivals in a certain place. I know even recently we were talking about big revivals, and I said, you know, Luke 17, Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you. So it is not in a place or in a building or in a synagogue, or it's no longer in the holies of holies or inside of the temple. The only reason that there may be, quote unquote, the atmosphere or the presence of God inside the building is because we're there. It's not a holy place that is holding something and waiting for us to get there. And it's not, if God, we can't have it both ways. Either God is omnipresent or he isn't. So church should be moving, because right here it says the gates of hell should not prevail. Right. And of course, we read in context. We read it before. Jesus goes and have the conversation that who do men say that I am. He starts the conversation by telling them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. In other words, beware of their zealousness and the bread that they're passing out, because their zealousness is based more on ritual and not on reality. Right. It is based more on law and rules and steps and not identity. And so now he goes and says, who do men say that I am? And they go back and forth. And Peter jumps out and said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. He says, and thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. He's talking about the revelation of who he is. The revelation of who he is, Jesus, is the basis for the foundation of the church. But I want you to catch me now, because many times we lose it and we miss it here. And then we begin to go and build on who Jesus is, not knowing that Jesus is telling us that who he is who we are. So Jesus has become over the years, and it begins with the Roman Catholic Church. And I'm talking about really way back in Rome, you know, when Constantine he was the emperor and he became Christian to try to use the power to take over and everything or whatever. And that's another history lesson. But now, in this moment, now Jesus becomes the figurehead. That's why we have these conversations about white Jesus and black Jesus and the picture and what Jesus looked like and all these different things. And we're so caught up on so many other things, because I know what Jesus looks like. He looks like you. Christ looks like you. We're all made in the image of God. We're all sons of God. When we accepted God as our father, we become sons of God. Otherwise, he's just the creator to us. He's our father, but it's almost estranged because we haven't accepted him as our father, right? This is what we mean when we talk about being saved or being born again. So now here we go. The church, or the foundation, or the building, the church is built upon the revelation of thou art the Christ. And I'm not talking about just Jesus was the Christ, but I'm talking about this Christ in you. In those days when the church was established, we're talking about the book of Acts, they were in the homes. Now remember now, what you have to be mindful of when you're reading scripture and reading the Bible is a lot of times with mankind, we can go into a new place. Do you remember when Moses, they were going to the promised land, and right before they got over there, God told Moses, strike the rock, and the water's gonna come out. So Moses did it, boom, strike the rock, water came out. A little further up the line, a little later, God brings him back to the rock because the people need water again, and he tells him, this time, I'm upgrading you, I want you to speak to the rock. Now what people don't realize is that he's enabling his being, right? Because one thing when you do something, I just did it in living my book class, how be doers of the word, not here, but be you are the word of God. Therefore, what you do is the word of God. But it's funny when you could take something and strike something, because you can always put it on the object that you use, the rod and everything. And you can say, you know, it was because of that. Right. And even though God tells you, you can attribute some of it to the strike. But when you're speaking, the word was made flesh. When you speak to the rock, It's hands-free. And now it becomes strictly from the breath that is on the inside of you, that came from breath that was breathing to you from the beginning at first. Now the identity of who you are in spoken word begins to tell the rock what to do. It tells it who it is. The rock, you know, this is a good message. And this will preach, turning a rock into a faucet. Turning a rock into a fountain, right? And if I sometimes I can't go there in these classes because I don't have time to get there. But you got to realize the rock and the fountain are the same. There's so much symbolism. You got to connect the dots in the scripture, because Jesus is the rock and he's also the well. He's a drink from the, you drink from this water, you never thirst again, right? I'll give you water that you never had. So you speak to the rock, and this is a story. You speak to the rock, but instead of Moses speaking to the rock, he does the old thing. And he strikes the rock the old way. And so it almost seemed like, dang, God, why are you so hard on this man? He told Moses all them years of work and all these years of things, and you're not going to go into the promised land. But it was important. Just as Moses couldn't go into the promised land, it's the same reason why Jesus, or why God, had to make sure that Adam and Eve were cut off from the Garden of Eden. Because your thinking would go into this place and contaminate this place with your contaminated thinking. So Moses enters in without knowing that he can speak to the rock, and instead of trying to strike the rock, which was good at one time, but now when we're grown, when we mature, people don't know this. I like to do a word study. Good and evil in the scripture, in Aramaic, it really means ripe and unripe. So when something is evil, it really means that it's unripe. Okay, watch this. When you try to go to a ripe place, a land flowing with milk and honey, right? When you try to go into a ripe place with unripe thoughts, your unripe thoughts can contaminate the place that you go. Watch me. So when we're entering in, God makes sure that Moses cannot enter in this way, because if you enter in this way, you'll bring that faulty thinking into this new place, right? And so you got to understand this. And so now if I don't know who I am, and I don't function in who I am, then what happens is we've turned the church, or we've turned this thing that was supposed to be moving and in motion and going in such a great direction and changing everything and creating heaven and earth. We changed it into something like what the synagogue was, something like what the zeal of the, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, because it'll creep in and turn the thing that's fresh into something stale. I can give you scripture over and over, and I don't have them written down, but you can look them up. You can't put the old cloth on the new cloth, because the old cloth gonna make the new cloth old. You can't put new wine in old skins. He's trying to make a statement that if we're gonna function as Jesus intended for the church to be, we can't bring the rituals and the recitals and the religion of what was into this place, because it's going to make it old. And I don't need to prove this in scripture, because we see it. We're living it right now. Church has been dumbed down to a place to where they say people don't. Now there's a falling away from the church. How can someone fall away from who they are? They just don't know who they are. There's a fall. People don't want to go to church. Of course they don't want to go to church, because you never told them that they are the church. Right? The building, the synagogue, the brick and mortar only becomes a special place when we're there. Right? It's only becomes a special place when we gather there. And it's important. I know it says forsake not the assembly of itself. I believe this. We assemble for everything else. Forsake. We should be able to assemble and have conversations about what God is telling us to do. This is actually what church was. Church was a calling out into the assembly. It's almost like a town hall meeting. And you call everybody out. It wasn't on Sundays and Wednesdays, and it wasn't every week or whatever. And we get that from whatever, but and it's a good thing. It's working out for us. We may need it in this time of 2023 with all this confusion, right? But this time that we're in. But they would call them out to the town hall, and they would hear what the message of what Jesus looks like in them. Or I don't know if they were doing it, but they were supposed to be Jesus looks like in them as them carrying Christ. And what that would look like going back to the several and various different ways of life. Make thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Making earth a reflection of heaven through us. We're the portals of heaven. So this is what church is. They were going, they had synagogues and temples. And I love when they say Jesus, when he died on the cross, they talked about it in one in one of the Gospels, it said the veil in the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. And I love it says that because it means God tore that thing. No man tore it from up. God tore it. He was eliminating the separation. Right? Of course, y'all know the story. Right after this in Matthew 16, a little further, Jesus begins to tell them who he is and what's going to happen. Peter jumps off the porch, the same one that sailed out with the Christ, the same one that jumped off the porch and missed the whole point. Now Jesus has to call him Satan and tell him, get behind me because you're a stumbling block, because you're saving the things that be of men and not of God, right? So now he gets rebuked. The next chapter, Jesus takes them, Peter, James, and John up into the mountain. He meets with Moses and Elias and he transfigures. He allows them to see this. And here's the church. You ready? The first thing Peter says is, oh my God, we gotta have a building fund. We need to start a new building fund. We need to build a new building. We need to build a tabernacle. We need to build a tabernacle, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And immediately he forgets. I don't even know if he forgot. He might not have ever had a grip on it. But if you go back to chapter 16, Jesus says, upon this rock, I will build my church. Upon this identity, will I build my called out ones? That's what the church is, the called out ones. But Peter represents, you got to read the scripture right to see what represents. People represent different things. He represents the actions that we do. We want to build a monument. We want to build a temple to try to celebrate. We want to build this. And now we're so celebrating the building. I've seen people do it with churches. They so excited about their building. They so excited about their new sanctuary. They're so excited about, look at our building. You see it, and they're so excited. I've been there before. Our ministry got a big building, been paid off for 20 something years. We get so excited about the building and the big sanctuary. And we're so excited about, so smaller churches are so excited about building a new building because you're so excited about the temple that you're not being built on the rock. And so now you're limited to the walls. And you're limited to it's almost like buying new clothes. You ever bought some new shoes or new clothes or whatever, and you bought them, you're so excited about them, but then the thrill is gone. The old song, some of y'all old school know that song. The thrill gone, the thrill be gone. I mean, as soon as somebody said, oh, I like that. That's all you did it for. You'll have your reward. He talks about that over in Matthew 6. You want to do it over in the street, you want people to see it, whatever. You want to build something. No, build from the inside. Build who you really are in Christ and Christ's nature from the inside. They would go, it wasn't a temple, they would go from house to house. They would meet in several different houses. We tried to do it with, we tried to do it with cell groups, and some people are doing it with small groups now, and bless God for all that. We're trying to get into the homes, but, it is still not as effective because we still have connected it to the organization or the name, my church, your church, this church, this Christian center, that Christian center, that glory tabernacle and that something cathedral and this and all these different things and this center and that. And it's like, yo, like you're missing the point of who the church is. And I'm not saying there is no mobility. So I'm not downplaying everything. There is mobility. There are those of us that are going out and being, but going out and being Christ is more than just telling people about Jesus and trying to lead them into a prayer that we call the sinner's prayer, which is not in the scripture. There is no sinner's prayer, but I digress again, right? It's more than telling somebody about Jesus, but you should be showing them who Jesus is in you. I'm not talking about being nice or trying to have nice. I'm talking about show them who they are by the manifestation. Show them who. I didn't even mean to say it that way. But who you are should show them who they are. Love the Lord. What's the greatest commandment in the law? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And the second is just like it. Love your neighbor. Why? How? As you love yourself. So the same as means same time, same way as I love myself. I've identified myself. God is love. This is John, 1 John 4. God is love and love is God, which tell me that love is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. Those things come with it. But love is an identity. Love is a person. So when I love someone, I person them. Right? So when I love the Lord my God, I recognize his person, and his person tells me who my person is. And then I begin to identify this person as I've identified myself. Listen to what I'm trying to say. And it's not identifying just in talk. Well, this is who you are, this is who you are, this is who you are. And that's good too, but it's a mirror. A lot of times the children learn from what they see the parent doing. Or what they see the one that seems to be mature. Watch this. What they see the one that seems to be mature. My older brother, shout out to Leroy Jr. My older brother, I just want to do everything he was doing. I was trying to wear his clothes. I wanted to. I tried. He had a fire flat top. I'm talking about. I mean, it was perfect. It was so perfect. I used to watch him. He would comb it in the morning, and he would take a book, a hardback book, and would sit it on top of his head and then comb the comb up, right? Right? Like, shout out to those kid and play days, right? And I wanted it so bad. Mine never got there. I don't know if I didn't have a half for it, didn't have a pace for it. Mine was not a flat top. It was kind of like a curved top. It never got there. I was trying to grow it so much, trying to put the little book on it, because I just wanted so bad to be like him, because he was the mature or the grown version of where I wanted to be. And it took nothing from him. He didn't have to come in the room and tell me, hey, Macho, you need to be like me. He never said that, none. He never had to come in the room and say, hey, this is how you do it. And he would tell me certain things, but I just in the vision in front of me, right? And the seeing what was in front of me and aspiring for that, to be that, I naturally started molding myself in that way. I started molding myself. I would hang out with him when I was younger. Sometimes he'd take me to games with him, and I'd see how they talk to girls. So I learned how to talk to girls. Like, I was ahead of my time. I was just, you know, like, I would know how to communicate with people. And that's just I'm just using my older brother. I mean, of course, with Apostle, different things with him and my parents was certain things that molded me into the person I am today, because I saw it in front of me, and it allowed me, it was a mirror for me to show me what I should be. Many times as the church, and I'm using quotes for a reason, because I don't want it to be the church building or the church congregation, but the church as who you are, we haven't been that mirror, right? And so because we haven't been that mirror, there's something else that has been more visible and more visual, and it seems to be more inspiring and aspiring. And so people have taken on the image of those things because we hadn't been who we were supposed to be. We are still telling people, please don't crucify me behind what I'm saying, but you have to catch me. We're still telling people about Jesus and not being him. And even Jesus says in that day, in the Son of Man, in that day, you're not going to ask you nothing. You're going to go to the Father for yourself. Even Jesus says, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going to the Father. In other words, he's saying, listen, you're still here. Do the work. Stop screaming about the work that I did. And I'm not saying we can't preach about it. I'm not saying we can talk about it. But we scream so much about the work that he did that we don't do the work. The same work that he said that we should be doing. And so now it leaves individuals, true witnessing. When there's a witness, it's somebody that has seen something. True witnessing is not a conversation or a tract. Are you what you know about Jesus? No, true witnessing is somebody should see something different on you without you saying a word. And then when they see it on you, they see the mirror of what they want to be, and it begins to transform them. They may ask a question. They may want to go to the places that you go or learn the way that you want to learn. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. I'm going to go get them. I'm going to draw all men unto me. And you become a mirror. The church should be a mirror. Now, one thing that a mirror does is it shows our blemishes sometimes, but it also shows who we really are and what we look like, and show us how we're looking when we're out in the world. We should be a mirror that they can see and begin to a mirror and an example. That's the word I want to use. An example of what we really look like. And then this example caused them to be formed in the image of God. And it's very easy. It's very easy. The reason it's been difficult is because we've been doing it a difficult way. We've been doing it unaligned. We've been doing it off track, and we've been missing it. So we've been missing conversions, right? Simply because we have not been being who we're supposed to be. This is church unusual. Church usual is the synagogue, the temple, the preacher, the normal jargon. You're about to sing some songs and this and this. Church unusual, church was never usual in the first place. Church unusual says, I begin to manifest things. And I'm not going around praying in tongues, trying to be all deep. I'm just being who I am. I've dropped the scales of all the systems and all everything else. And I realize that I am the word of God. Say it. And because I am the word of God, I'm walking just like Jesus walked. The word was made flesh. The word was made flesh in me too. And now I'm walking like him. And now when I encounter people, they begin to change into the image of the Father because they've seen it. There's a statement God gave me, and I'm going to leave you with this. He gave me this a long time ago. And I used to be talking to the youth and talking to different people and trying to get them. And he says, listen, and it stick with me to this day. He said, you can't expect someone to do something better. Watch this. If you don't give them something better to do. And now he's upgrading it to the statement. You can't expect somebody to be better than what they've been being if you don't be better in front of them. There it is. This is Church Unusual. You are the church.